Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Set smart TV to record the football later.
You've got to be joking, haven't you? I ain't got a blooming clue. But I tell you what, if you want to chuck a few quid on it, your best bet is to try that BetVictor app. Even I'm a whiz on that. Listen, I've got a little tip for you, and you did need this from me. Oh, that'll be Sandra with the shopping. Sorry, mate, I've got a dash.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet with BetVictor. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly.
Son, seen the remote?
A very good day to you. Welcome back to Eye on the Liga, brought to you by BetVictor, as myself, Oliver Wilson, and Jason Pettigrove rattle our way through some of the talking points from all things Spanish football. And we've got a nice little bit of positive news to come out of La Liga today, to start the show with, because you're finally able to have consistent Spanish football on your TV screens in the UK. Premier Sport have signed a 3-year deal, so we can all sit back and know that we're going to be able to see almost as much Spanish football as we want to watch this year and for the next 3 years. That's nice great. Bit of positivity to start the show, Jace. And how about the positivity over an international break? A little bit of time off at all, or are you kind of just continuing to rattle out copy after copy all over the various outlets that you write?
I'm plodding along, probably rattling at the same time, but that's just the old legs giving out, you know. We're not young bucks anymore, us two, are we? Well, maybe I'm not anyway.
I certainly feel like I've got a lot of energy, but this is really weird. I don't know. I feel like I'm absolutely buzzing off some coffee that I made earlier, and caffeine doesn't normally hit me, but this one is like rocket fuel. Honestly, my hand, when I stretch it out at the moment, is shaking slightly. So this could be quite an interesting podcast in terms of where I end up taking us down in terms of the dark, murky depths of Spanish football that we want to talk about.
Some big Spanish football rabbit hole that we never emerge from.
Yeah, well, I'll try to keep it on the straight and narrow, but there might be some tangents as we go along. And we have, of course, had the international break, a good win away in Romania for Spain 2-1 with Sergio Ramos penalty and Paco Alcacer getting on the score sheet, and then a 4-0 victory against the Faroe Islands. Two late goals for Alcacer off the bench, and Rodrigo with two as well, giving Spain their convincing victory. David De Gea has been applauded for a save in that game as well, just to ensure that the Spanish kept a clean sheet on home soil against one of the minnows in their group. But a very successful international break in the end overall, Jace. We said about 4-0 is what we were expecting. The Romania game, perhaps not as emphatic a victory, but certainly they got the job that they needed to do done against the Faroe Islands.
Yeah, they did. I think I'd like to applaud Roberto Moreno, actually, managing to keep the team focused after, obviously, the very sad news that we heard about Luis Enrique's daughter. I don't want to dwell on that, but stuff like that, it certainly does have an effect. We're all human beings at the end of the day. But he kept them focused on the job in hand. I think both performances were very good, actually. I think against Romania, it was 75% possession, 760 passes, 10 shots on goal. Very typical Spain performance. Lots of changes across the two games as well. We saw the likes of Suso, Gaia, Mario Hermoso, Fabio Ruiz coming in. Ramos led by example again, I think. I know there's this issue with him wanting to become the record holder and perhaps go forward with a record that nobody's ever going to get to. But for me, that's a side issue. He's still doing incredibly well for his team. So I think he deserves to be there. And you mentioned Alcacer. Fantastic for him. It makes me wonder, actually, if Barcelona would have utilised him a bit more at club level, how well he would have done for them, because the way he's been playing for Dortmund as well as Spain, you give him a chance at the moment and he's rattling them in.
Let's talk about quickly the rotation then of Roberto Moreno, because it's something that's been discussed, and normally people don't really like rotation, but all of the players have kind of come out from this international break in the national team and seemingly said that it's the right thing to do. It keeps everybody hungry, everybody wants to be involved, and everybody gets their chances as well, which is something I think that players, particularly at the national team level, really enjoy. If you get that chance and you give yourself a chance then to hold on to a position in the side by playing well at that level, but you also know that there might be an opportunity down the line again for you to show your mettle and maybe try and win a place back in the side if you either fall short in a couple of games or something like that. I mean, it seems to have gone down very well with the majority of the squad that Moreno used for these two internationals.
I think, you know, when you've got games like the Faroe Islands, and with the greatest of respect, they're always going to lose against Spain unless Spain have the worst off day they've ever had.
None of this greatest of respect. Look, the Faroe Islands are a poor nation. I'm not having it.
You keep chipping away at me about that. I'm just trying to be nice about it.
You're trying to stay down the PR route just in case the Faroe Islands need somebody to start writing their press releases for them. I completely understand that. You can't go around slagging off other companies and other nations, and particularly in this football journalism game that we all work in. You never know when an opportunity is going to come up. But the Faroe Islands aren't going to beat Spain.
Before I was so rudely interrupted, was that it's those sorts of games where you want to see the coach rotate the team. It's almost like when you get it at club level as well, there's nothing worse for a player that's sort of on the fringes or knocking on the door to come in, to see that the same old faces getting starting position and possibly playing, you know, the whole 90 minutes against a team that is far weaker. And so, therefore, I mean, I agree, the Spain players should all be happy that that's what Moreno's done. It's given everybody a chance to sort of stake their own claim. It's also given him a chance to actually have a look at players, you know, in the international setup, in different positions, how they're going to cope with the responsibility. Danny Ceballos, again, I think was very, very good, particularly against Romania. So to me, it's only positive. I can't see how, with those types of games, when you rotate, how that can ever be considered a negative.
The only thing I will say is that obviously playing different players against someone like the Faroe Islands might give a false look of how good they are in terms of playing in the national side. I mean, Alcacer, as you touched on, has been fantastic at Dortmund over the last 2 years and has been playing well for the national team in these two games too. Getting two late goals off the bench late on against the Faroe Islands will certainly be looking good on the scorecard. But you also have to take into account that had he not got those two goals, we'd have been a little frustrated with the fact that Spain weren't able to finish off this side as convincingly as the scoreline eventually looked. And Alcacer's come on and done the job that he's been required to do. But against, and again, I'm not having a go at the Faroe Islands, but they are a poor side and Spain would be expected to beat them. So I just wonder if perhaps rotating against the minnow sides does just give a false dawn, if you will, for some of these players. It'd be interesting what happens in major tournament football. Yeah. And I think fans as well want to know that the best squad is being put out time and time again. Completely understand the team chemistry aspect and everybody wants to have their shot. And I'm almost caught between two minds in this one of how I like it. I think it's brave of Roberto Moreno, but I also think that it's... Guys getting flooded with, that's the Faroe Islands calling to to sign you up for the job, mate. You've been giving them too much love on this show already. But I am caught between two minds of where I sit on heavy rotation against poor teams, or do you want to have a set 11 in your mind for when tournaments come around? Because you don't get many chances with the national team as a manager to organise your squad. You know, players then go away, go and play for their clubs, etc., and then they come back for these few fleeting international breaks throughout the season. So Moreno needs to know his best starting 11 by next summer. He's still got time, obviously.
But I think he does know his starting 11. I don't think that's necessarily in doubt, but I think what he needs to know, as with a lot of international managers, you want to know that you've got people that are there, that if there were less hypothetical situation, Diego Costa's not been doing so well with injuries over the last couple of years. He would probably be the first choice for Spain. Let's say he gets another injury again. Moreno needs to know that someone like Paco Alcacer can come in and do the business. And yes, it's only the Faroe Islands, but you can only, you know, play against what's in front of you. I think if anything, it just gives Paco Alcacer the confidence that perhaps he was lacking when he was at Barcelona. He's, you know, he's being looked after for club and country, and he's banging the goals in. So,
I completely see that point. In terms of then Spain's starting number nine, who is the best one at the moment? I've got a list of three, really, that I'd like to choose from. And I would probably think Roberto Moreno would be looking at this point. Would be Diego Costa, yes. Who's struggled, obviously, though, with injuries and scoring goals as well. Hasn't really been his forte in the last 18 months or so. And had his tough time at Chelsea as well. So his career, however much of a feisty, fiery improvement he's trying to put on the pitch, he's a goal scorer that needs to be scoring goals. Paco Alcacer, who's been excellent at Dortmund, 18 goals in the league last season, 4 already in this campaign, and 3 over the last 2 games for the national team. And Rodrigo from Valencia as well, 3 goals in 4 starts in the European qualifiers so far, 16 league goals 2 years ago, 8 league goals last season, yet to score this season, but is a player who's playing with a lot of confidence and is thoroughly enjoying his opportunities at the national team level. Now, if you had to go with an out-and-out number 9 for just one of those players, which one is at the moment going to be starting your front three in the middle for Roberto Moreno's side?
I'd have to say at this precise moment, I would probably go with Costa. Purely because he just gives a... There's something different. You know, he's a physical... sort of a bundle of it, like a whirling dervish almost. I mean, the other two are fantastic strikers. You know, they know where the goal is. I just think having Costa there gives them something else. Having said that, I mean, you've got Morata as well. I mean, he needs to be probably thrown into the mix. They all bring something different. I think perhaps a lot depends on how Moreno wants Spain to play. You know, do they want to go with a big hulking sort of target man up there and then have someone playing in just behind for the knockdowns? Or, you know, do they want to have, like they had the setup against Romania, where they had Alcacer in the middle and Rodrigo playing in off the right? So I think there's pluses and minuses for all of them, but if you're putting me on the spot, then I'd say Diego Costa.
Centre forwards, you always go with the hot hand, the person that's scoring goals. Alcacer would be my man down the middle. The only reason why I might take Diego Costa is you can probably fit in Alcacer as well to play a little wider. Not his favourite position, I don't think, but, I mean, he's a man that knows how to cut inside and find the back of the net as well. So you could mix that combination up. But, yeah, I think I would probably take Alcacer ahead of Diego Costa right now until he starts banging them in La Liga this season, which isn't out of the realms of possibility with the way that Atletico Madrid have started. And you're right to mention Alvaro Morata too, who is coming back to his best almost after getting his move and sitting in that Atleti side as well. And there will be opportunities for him, I'm sure, later down the line in Roberto Moreno's national team. Just finally on this international break, and Sergio Ramos saying that he wants to hit 200 caps for the Spanish national team. Now, you were quite friendly towards him at the start of the show.
Yeah.
But, and he does still put in a fantastic performance, even if he is pretty much guaranteed a yellow card in every major tie that Real Madrid will ever go through. But for the national team, Spain have had their golden generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it time and time again with other national teams, particularly with the English national team, of the golden generation just sticking around that little bit too long. Now, if Sergio Ramos is to make it to the 200 mark, he's going to have to be involved in the national team up to and including the 2022 World Cup, when he'll be 36 years of age. It's all very well and nice saying, I want to hit that mark, that's the goal I've got. But there's almost a feeling of expectation that Ramos has said it, and he probably thinks that that's exactly what's going to happen. And is it not a case? I know centre-backs can play a little bit older than many other players, and Sergio Ramos hasn't really shown many signs of slowing down. But is it not the case that this sort of driving ambition, putting it out in the public air like this, it just could hold back this Spanish national team of the golden generation just clinging on a little bit more, when perhaps there are others that start to come to the forefront and need to maybe be included a little more in the setup? I don't know. I like the positivity from Sergio Ramos. I'm just not sure that this is a great thing to be putting out so openly, because it almost makes it seem like it's a individual goal rather than anything that's beneficial for the national team.
It's like he's trying to convince himself, isn't it? At the end of the day, it's not his decision. It'd be down to Roberto Moreno.
But he has a lot of sway.
Well, he does. He's the captain. And I suppose, you know, you can look at it and say, you know, you don't just toss your captain aside. Having said that, if he's not doing the business, which, you know, we've been quite vociferous in our criticism of him at club level, in that, you know, he's not really done it for Real Madrid on a regular enough basis. If he deserves to be there, then fine, he can have 200, 250 caps if he's still playing when he's 40. But if there's better players that are younger than he is that deserve a start over him, then, you know, you've got to get to the point where you start phasing these players out, whether they like it or not. You know, you've got Sergio Busquets is another one that's, he's getting on now, and there are certain players at Barcelona that I think are starting to look a bit sharper than he does. So, there are always going to be those question marks. I think it just depends how brave perhaps a coach is. Me personally, if he's good enough to play for the 200 games, that's absolutely fine. But if he's not doing the business, captain or otherwise, then you have to put someone else in there that's worthwhile of the place. It's a very simple decision, I think.
It's obviously a very simple decision, but it's slightly more difficult when it's your captain saying these sorts of things. And suddenly you maybe get public backing as well for this idea of let's have Ramos go out on that high and eclipse Casillas' record and perhaps make it almost an unattainable record from a legendary player that's led this Spanish national team on to such great successes in the last few years, as well as being a legend at club level too. And let's not even think about how the sway that the Madrid media certainly have as well in influencing perhaps national team coaches and perhaps as well just the push and pull of the national team fans.
Bit controversial there, Ollie, unlike you.
Oh, I would never try and be controversial in any way, shape or form. I mean, look, the Catalan media have the same sort of power when it comes to talking about Barcelona players as well. I'm just putting the facts straight, and thankfully I'm not affiliated to either the Madrid or Catalan media, so I don't have to sit on the fence that much. But interesting that Ramos has said that, and we'll see if he can continue through to the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Right, Jace, we do have La Liga games coming up this weekend. Initially, when we were talking about it this weekend, about what we're going to talk about on the show, I said, let's have a look at some of the games coming up this weekend and why there are some fine, entertaining ties. I want to focus on one team in particular. So we'll just run through the games that are coming up this weekend. We've got Real Mallorca taking on Athletic Club on Friday. Saturday sees Real Madrid taking on Levante. Leganes will host Villarreal. Real Sociedad take on Atletico Madrid, the league leaders at the moment. Barcelona will take on Valencia in arguably the choice tie from Saturday on the Saturday night. Before Sunday, we see Eibar against Espanyol, Alaves against Sevilla, Celta de Vigo against Granada, Real Valladolid against Osasuna, and Real Betis against Getafe. For all of your gambling needs on those fixtures, get on to betvictor.com for the latest odds. Odds are subject to change. Please gamble responsibly. You must be 18 or over to gamble with BetVictor. And remember, if you are not gambling responsibly, get on to begambleaware.org for more information. Right, Jace, run through the games. But it's a tasty month coming up for Real Madrid in September. Away at Sevilla, away at Atletico Madrid, PSG in the Champions League, and taking on a Levante side that started fairly brightly coming up this weekend. It's a big month for Zidane. And dare
it's
I say
huge,
it could be
a huge month for Zidane, isn't it?
It's one that could make or break his season.
It could. I mean, I think obviously a lot depends on how Florentino Perez feels about the situation. They've not really set the world alight since really he came back in last season. They certainly haven't this season. I think actually the most interesting game of all of them at this point is the next game, because you know, Levante won at the Bernabeu last season. I'm not expecting it to happen again, but the fact that they're starting the game above them means Real Madrid, you know, go into that game being complacent at their peril. And I think, you know, were there to be not a big win from Real Madrid's point of view, they then go into that PSG game and then the Sevilla game, think, you know, we've really got to step up. It's not as easy as just switching performances off and on. They've really got to hit the mark against Levante in order to push forward in these next few games. And I'll be interested to see what 11 he goes with. Obviously, Bale's out of the one at the weekend because of the red card at Villarreal. Falls on Benzema's shoulders to lead the line. You know, I guess he's going to go with Jovic alongside, but will he bring Vinicius in at any point? I think he's lost faith in the young Brazilian, so I'm not sure what's going to happen there. Looking at it from Levante's point of view, you've got Borja Mayoral, who's on loan from Real Madrid. I haven't seen anything about the fear clause, which is what they have in Spain when a player goes and then he's not allowed to play against their parent club. So maybe he plays and then he's got a point to prove up against Varane and Ramos. And you know, there's other battles across the pitch. Jose Luis Morales, El Comandante, against Dani Carvajal, who hasn't played at all well this season. So it's a huge game on Saturday. And then, as you say, I mean, it doesn't stop, does it? Even the Osasuna game. I know Osasuna are away against Real Madrid at the end of September, but they showed against Barcelona that they're going to be a difficult team to beat this season.
Well, the Sevilla game pours a nice little, a small canister of petrol onto the bubbling fire around Real Madrid, with obviously a revenge game, if you will, for Lopetegui. in charge of Sevilla and actually took Madrid to Seville last year and lost 3-0. So there's a wrong to be written but for Real Madrid. But Lopetegui will want to, you know, get one over his former club because he will feel that he was perhaps treated a little harshly at Los Blancos and wasn't given the time that he needed to do what he needed to do with this Real Madrid team. So
and Sevilla generally do okay at the Sanchez-Pizjuan against Real Madrid. So it's a huge game. All of the games are huge. I think just at the beginning of October, it settles down a bit, and I'll use my with respect in inverted commas. They've got Granada followed by Mallorca. Those two, you'd expect them to win. But then straight after that, away against Galatasaray and away against Barcelona. So a huge sort of 4 to 6 weeks. Could we be looking at Zidane resigning again or being given a boot?
Well, I was going to say,
quite possibly.
Do we think that this could define Zidane's current tenure as Real Madrid manager? And is there a chance that he could be gone? I'm not sure, actually, that the club would be so quick to remove him if it didn't go well, because there has to be some sort of recognition at Real Madrid that although winning immediately is the expectation, you can't guarantee it. And Zidane may need a season to kind of sort this mess out and reorder the stack, if you will, in terms of this Real Madrid squad and the style of play and just getting everything back to grips. Now, that would require perhaps some self-control, which isn't likely a lot of the time when dealing with football managers, especially at Real Madrid. But in terms of a league title could have been snatched away from them. They could be out of the title race by the time that, maybe even if they lose to Sevilla and Atletico Madrid, people will be writing them off quite quickly.
They will, but I mean, you know, it's ridiculous to do that so early in the season. I think a lot depends on, obviously, Hazard's got to come back first of all, and we need to see what kind of an impact he's going to have on the team. Bale has shown when he's played how well he, I think there's enough that, even though I don't necessarily agree with the fact that he's gone for what we've always termed as the old guard, there is enough in that side to be able to be winning the majority of games. I think the issue is they've looked very flat in a lot of games since Zidane comes back, and where he had, I suppose, that Midas touch when he first took over, that seems to have dissipated, and it, from what we see at the moment, there doesn't seem to be that, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, but there's just something missing. And I think, you know, potentially over those sort of 5 to 7 games, if, you know, they may get one or two decent results, but if the general feeling is, look, it's just not happening. I mean, they've got Raul waiting in the background. You know, would they do with Raul what they did with Zidane and think, okay, look, you've not really had the experience at the top level, but you know the club inside out, and we need that sort of new manager bounce, for want of a better term.
So short term to think of that, though, of, oh, we need a new manager bounce. I mean,
it is, but I mean, you know, again, look at what happened last season. They didn't really give Solari much of a chance to turn things around. He had a bit of a bad period, and it was like trigger finger, away you go. So it's not as if there's no precedent for it.
Yeah, I think Raul would probably do well to look at Zidane's situation. I mean, Zidane was there long enough, kind of behind the scenes and working with the youth players, to establish himself a little more and to kind of time his moment for going for the big job. And if I was in Raul's shoes, I know he probably would love to take that top spot at Real Madrid and be in charge of the club that he is a legend at. But it's all about timing and football management. In the same way, you don't take the United job after Sir Alex Ferguson. You don't walk into a Real Madrid job when the side is in such disarray and playing such erratic football as it is at the moment. But we will see. It's a big September, though, for Real Madrid. It's a big September as we get the international break over and get back to the La Liga action. Remember, we will be back every single week throughout the season, bringing you updates and news and talking points from around La Liga. You can follow us on anchor.fm, and of course you can subscribe, like, and enjoy the podcast via iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and all other good podcast hosts. Jace, a big thanks for joining us once again, mate.
Thank you very much. See you same time next week.
Yep, I will actually be back in the UK next week. No, I won't. No, I will be in South America again. Jeez.
Wicker's World for those older listeners.
I'm out of... What is Wicker's World?
That says it all for me.
Yeah, you were saying that we're perhaps the old guard. I'm still not in that old guard bracket yet. I'm still missing those jokes, that's for sure. Remember, of course, to get onto betvictor.com for all of your gambling needs around the La Liga season and, of course, the Spanish national team as well. Follow them on Twitter at BetVictor. Follow Jason on Twitter at Jason Pettigrove and myself at O_J_Wilson. Until next week, take care. Enjoy all the football. Have a good one.